Episode 116, BulaNetwork.com. Yeah, it's the I've Got a Cold edition. Morning, kids. At least it's morning when I'm recording this. Today is Friday, February the 10th, 2012. And unfortunately, as usual, I'm a day late and a dollar short. But hey, we're going to get underway with episode 116. We're going to talk about mapping. Mind mapping is a ridiculously popular activity and conversation. And I would love to tell you that I am both proficient and prolific at mind mapping, but I'm not. Do you doodle when you take notes? Well, or let's back up a little bit. How do you take notes? Do you just simply write text? Do you draw pictures? I've been a rather avid, prolific note taker all of my life. And my note taking has morphed and changed. But from, I don't know, I guess my earliest recall might be junior high. From junior high on, I did a lot of doodling. Started out in the margins and then it eventually just kind of took things over. My Saturday smiles are cartoons because when I was younger, it was kind of my aspiration. I thought it'd be great fun to be a cartoonist, and I drew pretty consistently. I drew mostly during school, taking notes. I was a good listener. In fact, it became problematic for me when I got to college because I was the kid who, I did my homework, you know, did homework assignments, but wasn't real fond of that, wasn't much fond of anything, to tell you the truth, to do with school. I was a good student. I made good grades, but I primarily made good grades through high school because I listened very well, and I took great notes. Okay, you get to college, and guess what? I had this eureka moment when I discovered, you know, this exam, that he didn't talk about any of this. No, it's called self-study. Yeah, I learned that concept far too late. But I took notes, and it's been interesting to me to watch how other people take notes. And today, there are all kinds of pieces of software that help people mind map. And a mind map is really nothing more than just, you know, it can be detailed notes. And usually, when you hear about mind mapping today, it's someone talking about some business idea, and more often than not, you're going to hear about it from the internet marketing crowd, the get-rich-quick crowd, which is most commonly what they are. Not all of them, but most. And they talk about mapping out, you know, their product launch and their informational product and this and that. But they do have some other terrific applications. Now, business people have used a lot of different kind of charting technologies and spreadsheets and various graphical information for a long, long time. Enter today, and we have this terrific thing, well, it can be, called infographic. You've seen these. These are kind of those pictorial displays of things, and some of them are very, very clever and very, very well done. Now, the ones I'm super fond of, and I'm gonna link one or more of these into the blog post or the show notes for today's episode, episode 116. RSA produces these, you know, they're kind of animated drawings, and they are most typically noted for taking a good presentation. And so many times they are TED presentations. If you don't know what TED is, I'll put a link to that in the show notes as well. You need to get dialed in and plugged into to TED for 4 or 5 years. They've just been putting some terrific stuff up on the internet for those of us that are not nearly big enough or well-heeled enough to attend these events in person. And they basically will take this short speech that was delivered and they illustrate it. You hear the person giving the speech, and while they're giving the speech, you don't see them giving the speech. You rather see these drawings appear. And they do have some text with them, and they're there's just this terrific connection, for me at least, and it's probably because I'm very fond of illustration. I'm very fond of cartooning. I'm just, you know, that visual thing is pretty cool for me. And so to hear the speaker deliver his thoughts or her thoughts and to see this, and it's not animation, it's picture a pencil drawing, but it's happening very quickly in real time as the person's delivering the speech. These things to illustrate what the speaker is talking about. And I got to thinking about how people take notes, and I got to thinking about not the idea of mind mapping, but just the whole notion of mapping. Now, I have an iPhone. I'm sure you have some similar device, if not the exact same device. And when we get in the car and we're headed someplace that we don't know where we're going, we're not sure how to get there. We know where we're going, but we just don't know how to get there. We enter, you know, perhaps some GPS application, some type of mapping application to tell us how to get there. And most of these applications, if they aren't dealing with real time, because obviously we have GPS technology in these phones, if they aren't dealing with us in real time, and I don't know any that aren't, frankly, but you can deal with some that will, they give you a turn by turn indication of how you should go. In short, mapping programs tell us how to get from here to there. That's what mapping is all about. Mind mapping is, I don't know, I don't even know where that came from, but we are in essence doing the same thing, usually with some kind of a business process or some kind of a creative process. We are mapping out, okay, this is what needs to happen next. Think of them as, this is where your next turn is. You're going to go so many feet, so many yards, so many miles, and you're going to turn right on this particular road. We're all familiar with that. Here's the question. Whether we're talking about your career or whether we're talking about your business, how's the mapping? How accurate are you finding the mapping? And how active are you today in remapping? Is it Mayhem? Is it, it's one of the insurance companies that has the TV commercials. They're pretty funny. You know, and this actor, his name is Mayhem. Well, he is Mayhem. you know, and he's always got this little butterfly bandage over one eyebrow, and he's been in countless crashes and things, and he plays all these various roles, and the one role has him sitting in the passenger seat. Well, actually, he's sitting in the floorboard facing the driver, and he's acting as though he's the GPS. And the driver is just blindly aim, you know, he's just following whatever instructions the GPS has. And he goes into recalculating route. Turn left now. You know, and the guy drives straight into the back of a car, and then he just starts laughing, you know, because he's mayhem. Yeah, go online, go to YouTube, Google mayhem in videos, and I'm sure you'll see the video. And if we've got GPS, if we've ever used GPS, we know that recalculating. And when recalculating happens, let's say that you're on the interstate and you're headed somewhere and the exit is coming up that you need to take, but you miss it. Well, your GPS, you've plugged in the destination, so your GPS knows that you've passed it. So now the GPS starts recalculating from there. Now how are you going to get there? Because the turn you needed to make, it's a mile back. And it takes a few seconds and it recalculates. Do you do that in your career? Do you do that in your business? If you miss a turn, do you recalculate or you just keep going? Hoping that, well, surely this road will get me there. I mean, it seems like I'm headed in the general direction. A lot of people do. Worse yet, a lot of people get in the car that is their career, that is their business. They don't have a map at all. They don't turn on any GPS. They don't map anything out. No notes. Improvise. Now, admittedly, most every day, you're going to have to improvise. There's no doubt. You're going to have to improvise on some things. But when we start talking about the direction of our career, the direction of our business, and that direction is going to be solely determined by our ability day after day to improvise, we might want to rethink that. Talk about mayhem. So I'm going to encourage you, based on countless years of experience in trying to learn this myself and in trying to help other people learn it. You know, some people are just planners. They're just planners. I have found that there are a few groups of people when it comes to these kinds of things. There are the people that just, they plan, and they meticulously plan. And they're afraid to open the door until they've properly planned things out. And in some cases, the battle they have to fight is to be paralyzed because they're so engrossed in analyzing everything. Making sure, okay, let me check all of the I's. Did I dot them all? Let me check all of the T's. Have I crossed them all? Because if I haven't, I'm not ready yet. Now, counter that with stories that you've heard, we've all heard, of people who set about to build something. I was listening to an interview the other day, and if I'm not mistaken, I believe it was at Mixergy. There's a place where you really should devote some time. Andrew Warner over at Mixergy. But he interviewed someone. It was a handful of guys that were building some software, and they spent 2 years and worked all kinds of jobs just trying to survive, and spent 2 years building something before they ever even got any feedback on it, and before they ever had the realization, nobody wants this. 2 years. 2 years. Two or three people or more devoting their lives to something for 2 years, and nobody wanted it. And that sometimes is what this group of people tend to do, these people that we're going to analyze everything, we're going to dot every I, cross every T. The problem is nobody wants I's and T's, but we've got them all dotted and we've got them all crossed. There are other people who they get a bright idea and they're a bit like a kitten with a ball of yarn. And the minute you introduce the second ball of yarn onto the floor, well, the kitten is sure to go for it. And then enter a third ball, and the kitten's going to go for that too. And they're like that with their ideas. Every idea that they have is, this is great, this is great, this is what we need to do. And they dive headlong without any planning. I mean, they're not even looking for I's and T's to dot and cross. They've got just the opposite problem. They act in a flash. Action is not their problem. Reaction might be, and just acting without purpose might be, because they're like a kitten with a ball of yarn. Every ball of yarn is, this is great, this is great. And they hop around like a kitten. I know I'm getting bad, aren't I? That sounded good, didn't it? So much for the cough button. I have a cough button, by the way. Have I told you that? Well, I do. I have a cough button as I take a drink of water. Pardon me. I have a cough button. It's been sitting very safely in its box since I got it, I don't know, 3 years ago. Yeah, before the podcast even started. How sad is that? One of these days I'll get it out and I'll wire it up. Talking about planning. Yeah, I need a plan to do that. I'm going to have to make copious notes on getting that done. But you know people who are like the kitten chasing the ball of yarn. Easily distracted. Too much focus on the first group. Focus on planning. Not enough attention on acting, doing something. The latter group, completely focused on action. But no filter. Every idea that enters their head seems to be a great, brilliant idea. Every idea they hear, great, terrific idea. And they don't act with enough singular purpose to get anything accomplished. These are the people who may be, in my experience, they're not, but they might be pretty good at starting something. In my experience, they're not even that good at starting something because in my view of things, I don't think that you're that particularly gifted at starting something if you really can't get it launched off the ground, you know, successfully. I mean, anybody can go take the first step. Not a big deal. And we can, you know, we can beat that adage all around that we want, you know, that, you know, the journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step. May be true, but it begins with the first right step, or it begins with the first step in the right direction. And so many times the kittens chasing the balls of yarn, they might take a step, they might take action, but it might be the wrong action. It might be action in the wrong direction. And the problem is they never gain momentum because they never maintain enough focus to get anywhere. These are people that I think are best described as being in motion. They are not taking meaningful action, but boy, they're in motion. They are in constant motion. And sometimes we misunderstand motion for meaningful action, and they're not one and the same. Then there is this middle ground, and this middle ground is where you and I hope to be, where we properly map out, here's where we are, here's where we hope to go, and we map out how we intend to get there. Now we're talking. I mean, here's the big eureka for us. Have you ever thought about an idea and you thought, man, this would be great. This would be terrific. You know where you're at. And you know what the ultimate prize might be. Maybe it's, you know, it's some better job. Maybe it's some higher revenue. It could be any number of goals that you have in your career or your business. And maybe you draw a circle, and that circle represents where you are now, kind of like the map on the in a mall. You're here now. And we draw another circle, and that's, you know, a 10% increase in our pay, a 10% increase in the revenue of our company. And we're like, okay, this is where we're at. That's where we want to get. Well, there's just a small problem here. How are you going to do that? We can sit around and dream all day long. We can sit around and ponder, man, wouldn't it be great if? But if we've not mapped out some design, some intention, some methodology, some process to get there, I'm not saying you'll never get there because, you know, even a blind pig can find one every now and then, but it's going to be hard. And in this hubbub of a world that we live in today, where we are pressed upon at every side, sometimes I'm finding that it's just difficult to devote the time to unplug, to get away, to find some quiet time, find some time with some loud rock and roll music, whatever works for you. And to seriously think, how am I going to get there? Map out the strategy. Now, as you and I both know, if you've ever attempted this ever at all in your life, even with some little small minor thing, we all know that, well, plans are made to be derailed. The way that we conjure things up in our mind and then we commit those to paper or to some electronic app doesn't necessarily mean that that's how it's going to turn out, because there are going to be things that are going to come our way that we didn't see that coming. Well, here comes something else, and we didn't see that coming. And like the GPS, we're going to have to recalculate. Because now the trajectory toward our goal, well, it's changed. Why? We missed a turn back there. We weren't paying attention, and we missed our turn. Man, enter time to recalculate. And here's where so many people, I think, get it wrong. And I've gotten it wrong. You've gotten it wrong. We've all done this. We're not even aware we missed the turn. And in some cases, we're aware that we missed the turn, but we don't think, well, you know, I mean, wasn't that big of a deal. Right? I mean, it was just a little fork in the road, and it wasn't really a turn. It really was more like a veer. How important could that be that I missed that? We do that. We do that with our careers. We do that with our businesses. We don't think much of it. And we don't realize that, you know, just the slightest change in trajectory, man, it changes everything. There's snippet that they do on ESPN, and it's sports science. And occasionally I have no idea it's regularity, but when I've got Sports Center on, I spot it every now and then, and they will break down a play. Like the big play in the Super Bowl the catch that Manningham made, that they may break down. The one that I'm thinking of is they broke down the play, and I don't remember who the receiver was, but in the playoffs, in overtime, when Tebow made that pass to that receiver and he sprinted down the right sideline for a touchdown and they won that game in overtime. Sports Science did a little snippet on that. And, I mean, they broke down everything. They broke down the angle of his feet when they planted and how, had they been off just a degree here or a degree there, he would not have been able to have stayed in bounds. They did a breakdown of his reach, his wingspan, if you please. And if you remember, as he's running down the right sideline, he reaches out his left arm and he stiff arms the guy that seems apparent to tackle him. And they broke down through physics that his reach was, I mean, we're talking, I don't think it was millimeters, but I mean, it was like an inch, one more inch. Had his reach not been one more inch, he would have likely been tackled. And we set about to accomplish these things, and we sometimes don't think that the little things do matter. And boy, in the grand scheme of things, they do. They just do. And mapping out how you want your career to go, mapping out how you want your life to go, and figuring out the best way to get there, and then making sure that you're paying close attention, yes, to even the small things, can make all the difference in the world, you know. I hope you're achieving what you set about to achieve. Better yet, I hope you've set about to achieve something. I hope today and every day you're behaving with some intent and some purpose. I'm hoping to do the same. I think I need to sit down and map out how I'm going to get over this cold. I'm good for this every winter. My wife and I both have it. It's just not been fun. I don't feel that bad, but I sound terrible. Hey, thanks for listening. Won't you go over and give me some positive feedback over at iTunes? I'd love it if you would do that. My name is Randy Cantrell. The city of origin is Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas. BulaNetwork.com is the website. This is the Yellow Studio.